Well, good morning and happy Sabbath to each of you again today. Let's bow our heads and seek the Lord in prayer as we begin this part of the service today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be here today. We thank you for the blessing of your word and the promises of hope. We thank you that you give us the book of Revelation, a message of your love for us living in the last days. We thank you for this message part two of the part of the three messages that you have shared with us through the three angels of how much you care and love us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are glorified and that you are the example in this lesson. And may today our hearts be drawn closer to you as we open the Word of God. May it be an inspiration to each of us. May we leave today knowing that we have been in your presence. I ask all this and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and look at our scripture reading for today. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, our scripture reading today. The Bible says, "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." It's interesting also to note, as we look in the Bible and look through the book of Revelation and the Old Testament, that there are several accounts in the Bible that talk about this Babylon that has been fallen, that has fallen, or has drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Four verses in the Bible that talk about the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Revelation chapter 17, verse 2, it says, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Revelation 18, verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And finally, Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 7, the Bible says, "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." We come to this part of the book of Revelation, the second angel's message, "Babylon, Babylon is fallen, and many have drunk of the wine of her fornication." We're going to look at a couple of things today. Number one, we're going to take a peek at Babylon. What does Babylon symbolize? We're also going to look at the wine. What is its symbol and what does it mean for us today? And finally, we're going to close today in this lesson the importance of God's love for us and why he gave us this message and how, again, it reveals Jesus Christ to each of us today and the importance that we have a relationship with Christ here today. So let's look at this here today. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, it starts out by saying, "There's another angel that followed." Again, here's a proclamation of a group of people that go forward to preach this gospel or this message to the world. The first angel we talked about last week. We talked about the judgment. We talked about the everlasting gospel. And the center of that first angel's message is the message of Jesus Christ. It's a message of love, God's care for humanity. In the judgment, we need Jesus. The gospel message is about having Christ. So in the end time crisis, more than anything, we as a people, the whole human race, need Jesus Christ. And the message still goes forward with this central theme that Jesus is the center of our attention and the most important thing that we need in this time in which we live. Last week I shared with you that our forefathers had mentioned that of the Adventist faith, that the first and second angels' message has been preached in the 1840s through 1844 and so forth, and that now presently we are living in the third angel's message. So then we can come to a conclusion that more than anything in this time, the next thing that takes place is that Jesus is coming again. More than ever, we need or we should have a relationship with Jesus Christ and have atonement and forgiveness for our sins so that when Jesus comes, he'll find those who have been waiting who have had trust and dependence upon him. Well, he goes on to say in this verse 8 here, he says, "Babylon is fallen." Well, let's take a moment to take a peek at what Babylon symbolizes. Babylon comes from long ago from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 11, verse 9, if you'd like to turn with me there today. Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 9. Now, this is the story of the Tower of Babel. Not long after the flood, the people of the earth decided they were going to build a tower that would reach up to the sky just in case there was another flood. But in Genesis chapter 11, God did something that was unique here, he did something where I believe that we can trace back where we get all these nationalities and different languages and so forth, is that the people were one. And if we notice here in verse 8, it says, let's go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 7. The Bible says, "Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So while they were building this Tower of Babel up to the sky, God has a conversation. The Godhead has a conversation. And they say, "Let us go down, and now let's confound their language. Let's confuse their language." In verse 8, "So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city." Why did they leave off to build this great, magnificent city? Because they couldn't understand each other's speech or language. And the Bible says there, in verse 9, it says, "Therefore is the name of it called Babel," or Babel, "because the Lord God did there confound the language of the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth." Now, God did that to confuse their language at the Tower of Babel, lest the earth should become one and the sins of the earth would again populate prior to the flood. So God purposefully, in mind, confused their language, confused their nationality, so that people would scatter abroad and they collected in pockets each place. We can say the Ethiopians collected in the Ethiopian group, the Native Americans collected in the Native American group, the Anglo-Saxons, if you will, collected in their group. However, the point is that their language was separated from one another and their nationalities were separated, and so thus the place was called Babel, or confusion. So the word Babylon means confusion. That's simply what it means. You look up any dictionary, you go to the concordance, you look up Babylon. Babylon means simply confusion. So when we look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8, the Bible tells us that Babylon is fallen. Confusion has come to this land. Confusion has come to this world. What's interesting also to note is that when Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, as he was building the great empire Babylon, he didn't stop there. Babel didn't stop there. But as Babylon began to grow, there was people that still tried to build the city. King Nebuchadnezzar was one of those kings who said, "What is this great kingdom that I have built?" It's interesting to note that Nebuchadnezzar, during his reign in Babylon, became a Christian. After 7 years of going crazy and eating grass and having long fingernails and hairs like locks of feathers, he came to his senses and he realized that the God was the God of the universe. And he comes back and he says, "Let all men worship and glorify the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, I will praise this God." Babylon became, so to speak, a Christian, led by a Christian leader. And that was Nebuchadnezzar. So, what does that have to do with this message or this text here today? Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Babylon, which means confusion, has fallen away from a purity. Nebuchadnezzar, who trusted in the divine king of the universe, God himself, that empire had begun to fall and slip away. In fact, his grandson, who became the next leader of Babylon, was told by his grandmother, "Have you forgot what Nebuchadnezzar your father had done? Did you not forget? Did you not remember?" And so the grandmother, the wife of Nebuchadnezzar, reminded her grandson. He said, "Look, your grandfather Nebuchadnezzar served the God of the universe, and today, you know, you have forgotten these things and you've worshipped these false gods." So we see Babylon beginning to slip away and to fall away. And in the book of Revelation, we see another insight here where Babylon has completely fallen away. In fact, today, much of our modern culture that is built up around paganism, much of sun worship, worshipping false things and so forth, has its roots in Babylon. Okay, now we gave a discourse about Babylon. Let's pause there for a moment and come back here to what we're looking at in Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Babylon is fallen. The place of confusion has become a fallen place. What does that all say? What does that signify for us today? I would like to read a quote for us today. To be fallen away, it means to fall away from doctrinal purity. Babylon is a symbol of confusion, and because it's a symbol of confusion, obviously it would have a doctrinal impurity or doctrinal confusion in our world today. Listen to this. I just wanted to read this from Selected Messages, page 68. She goes on to say here, she says, how Satan would exalt to have a message go broadcast that the only people whom God has made the repositories of His law are the ones to whom the message applies. The wine of Babylon is the exalting of the false and spurious Sabbath above the Sabbath which the Lord Jehovah has blessed and sanctified for the use of man. Also, it is the immortality of the soul. These kindred heresies are the rejection of truth. Convert the church into Babylon. Kings, merchants, rulers, and religious teachers are all corrupt in harmony, are all in corrupt harmony. If we turn from the testimony of God's word and accept false doctrines, because our fathers taught them, we fall under the condemnation pronounced upon Babylon. We are drinking of the wine of her abominations. So then, the wine is a symbol of false doctrine or false teaching, such as the state of the dead, what happens when you die, the change of the Sabbath, accepting Sunday worship versus the seventh-day Sabbath worship, eternal torment, hell. Did I mention the state of the dead, what happens when you die? These things are false doctrines that have crept into the church long ago. The Bible doesn't teach about any other day except for the seventh-day Sabbath. The Bible doesn't talk about immortality of the soul except in the fact that God has given us breath and He's given us life. The Bible doesn't talk about life after death. It only tells us and encourages us that we must be ready for the soon return of Jesus at this time. Also, too, praise the Lord if there's no place of hell, eternal burning and so forth, because the Bible is very clear that when you die, you just simply go into the grave. Where did all these teachings come from? Well, they come way back from the time of Babylon, or they come lodged from the Babylonian Empire, which taught false teachings and so forth, which have crept into our churches of late. So Babylon is fallen. She has begun to teach false teachings, and many of our culture today and of our world today has accepted these false teachings. Why do you think we have so many denominations today, each one proclaiming the truth, but each one significantly different? Why? Well, because Satan would have so much confusion in the world. But the Bible is so clear about the truth of God's remnant church, so clear as He has over 10 points, so does He have 10 points to point out the false church. So if there's a false in the Bible, there must be a true in the Bible. Amen? And so God gives us a message here today telling us that Babylon is fallen, the great city, verse A, because she had made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Why is that significant for us today? Well, notice here in the Bible it says in verse 8 again, all nations. In other words, this Babylon, this false system, this false teaching is causing all nations of the entire world. Now remember, God scattered at Babel the nations abroad. He scattered them all abroad. And he confused their language, so people were scattered everywhere. But notice this Babel is still trying to bring everybody under one banner. And notice all nations have drunk. This Babel, this false teaching, this false religion, this false religious pious, this false doctrinal teachings and so forth, is trying to become a worldwide. And so thus, what's interesting is that the commonality of religious sects today have a common belief system. Number one is that Sunday is the day that God has honored as the day of rest. Number two, the state of the dead. What happens when you die? Many people in many denominations, they have a collective belief system that when you die, you go straight to heaven. Secondly, they teach that there's immortality of the soul, or the soul is immortal. They also teach that there is a literal burning place called hell. But the Bible is very clear that these places are not true. They are not evident in Scripture, or they cannot be proved doctrinally. However, let's come back here. Notice this. If Babylon is a false teaching, then God must have a true teaching in the last days. Amen? If there is so much confusion out there, there must be a right. And what God wants to do in this message of love today for us is to draw us back to a conclusive evidence that God is true and just and that He has soundness for us. I would like to share this verse with you today, if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. You can write this down, you can turn to your Bible, but I just want to read it while we're thinking about this. If there is so much confusion out there today, where do we go? Friends, number one, we have the Bible. Two, we have prayer. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God. But in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, the Bible tells us, "For God is not the author of what? Author of confusion." So the Bible then is very clear for us, or should be clear or evident enough, that Scripture and Scripture alone is place enough to give us sound teaching and sound doctrine and point us in the direction to go. Amen? So stand on the Word of God. Amen? God is not the author of confusion. If God is not the author of confusion, then that tells me that we can trust in God's divine Word. And because we can trust in God's divine Word, we can know the truth as it is in Scripture, as it is in Christ. We can know the truth about the Sabbath. We can know the truth about the state of the dead. We can know the truth about hell. We can know the truth about the immortality of the soul. We can know the truth of the second coming and so forth. We can know these truths. So because of these pertinent truths within the church in the last days, it sets itself apart from the rest of the world. When you begin to discover the true remnant church in the last days, it sets itself. It's like a piece of the pie that was taken out, and you see this big empty spot there. Except that one piece of pie can fill a nation, if you will. So it's like looking down with a magnifying glass and seeing the validity of God's Scripture and seeing in the last days there's a church that's set aside, set apart for a specific purpose and for a reason. I guess I have to ask a question today. Have we been called? Have we been asked? And are we sharing the messages that God has given to us, given to His church, to go out and share to this world? Are we preaching that Babylon has fallen and there's a lot of confusion? It's time to what? As Revelation 18 tells us, come out of confusion and come into Christ. If God is not the author of confusion, then we must come to Jesus and find the truth as it is in His Word. Amen? And so, anyways, let me continue on here today. So where do we get all these false teachings and these false doctrines? Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. I invite you to turn with me there today. Matthew chapter 15 and verses 8 and 9. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. "The people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but the heart is far from me." In verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of" what? "The commandments of men." So the Bible is telling us here today that many of these teachings are passed down from generation to generation. They're doctrines made up by men. They're not founded on the Word of God. And so thus, we as Christians, if we're going to be obedient to God's Word, then also too, we are going to find the truth of God's Word and be obedient to His doctrine, not the doctrine of men. Which means then that we are going to be going contrary to pretty much the rest of the world. Because if you remember, all nations have drunk. Many people, in other words, these false doctrines and these false teachings have gone worldwide. In fact, the three angels' message is to be a worldwide message, to preach the truth against the confusion, so that God can have a place for people to come out of confusion. It only makes sense to me. Well, let's go on here. If we continue to read on, "If all have been made to drink of the wine of the wrath," everybody is involved here. If everybody is involved here, we have to make a decision. Whose side are we going to stand on? Are we going to be on God's side, or are we going to be on the world's side? I want you to notice something here. Turn with me back to Revelation chapter 14. And we're going to look at Revelation 14:8 again. And then we're going to look at verse 10 as well. Revelation chapter 14:8 and verse 10. "Saying, Babylon has fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Notice here, there's wine here. "They all have drinking of the wine," which is a symbol of false teaching, false doctrine. Okay? Now notice this, verse 10. the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of who? God. In verse 9 it tells us, if we follow this power, if we accept these teachings, then we too will drink of the wine of the wrath of God. What's interesting here in these two verses, you have on one side, you have the wine of Babylon, and on God's side, you have the wine of God. So which wine do you want to drink of? Well, in this instant, you don't want to drink of either one of them. You definitely don't want to drink of the wine of the wrath of God, because the wine of the wrath of God is eternal punishment and separation for those who have drank of the wine of the Babylon. So if we drink of the wine of Babylon, may be easy going, but in the long run, we're going to end up drinking of the wine of the wrath of God. But I want to note this here today. There's only two sides. There's the wine of God, and there's the wine of Babylon. You have two sides to be on. You have one or two sides to be on. You can't be in the center. Either you're on God's side or you're on Babylon's side. And the message of Revelation chapter 18 is, come out of Babylon, for Babylon has fallen. So come out of confusion, come out of that mess, and come into the truth. Now, I know that many of us have heard this message today, but don't lose heart today. I'm repeating this message today, and maybe repeating myself in the service today with this message. But at the end of the message, here's the light for us at the end of the tunnel, if you will. Here's the two wines. You either have God's wine, or you have the wine of Babylon. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. This is the story, this is the words of Jesus in the Last Supper before he went to the crucifixion. And in this message here, he says this in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 to 26. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup, which he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye oft as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death, till he what? Till he come. So I want to look at it in a figurative point here. What I'm illustrating here is that we have two sides to stand on. We either have Babylon or we have God's side. I don't know about you, friends, but I want to be on God's side. If we are on God's side, there's the assurance that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? And so today, the message for you and I today is, which side are you going to be on? And the pertinent message in this message that Babylon has fallen, come out of Babylon, is God's love letter to us, to you and I, to come out of confusion, to come out of false teaching, to come out of false religion. And so we may be sitting in the sanctuary today feeling comfortable saying, I have come out of all that stuff. But have you really spiritually in the heart? In other words, do you still have your hand in the world? Do you still have one foot in the world and one in the church, you see? Coming out of the physical Babylon is probably an easier thing to do. Remember what in Matthew chapter 15 said. He says, many have served me, but not with their hearts. With their hearts they have served. And so thus it is for us today. In our hearts, have we served Babylon? Have we served confusion? Are we following the things of this world? Friends, all nations are going to drink of one wine or another. Which one do you want to drink of, you see? I want to drink of the pure wine of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. Amen? And so here today, once again, we have a hope for us today. Either you're on God's side, you're on the world's side, but you can't be spiritually on either side. You have to, one way or another, spiritually, you're going to be on one side or the other. Excuse me. So spiritually speaking, where do you stand today? That's the question that we may have to ask ourselves individually. So taking of the Lord's Supper, taking of the wine of God, I believe that this wine not only symbolizes the destruction of those who are partaking of the wine of Babylon, but also too this wine can be a symbol of Christ's righteousness and purity. We're all going to be tried by fire, amen? And so thus, when we drink of the wine of God, He cleanses us, He purifies us, and He makes us whole so that we can stand in His presence so long as we focus on Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Another point here. you're either going to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ or you're going to be filled with the Spirit of the Antichrist. You have two, again, you have a choice to make, one or the other. You're either going to be filled with the Spirit of Christ or you're going to be filled with the Spirit of the Antichrist or the false teachings of Babylon. Which side do you want to be on is the question for each of us today. As we continue to read on, God said in 1 Corinthians 14:33, He is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So the message here today, once again for us, is coming to Christ will give a clarity of view. Focusing on Jesus will give us a vision to see what is true and right as it's found in Scripture. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 8, verse 31. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. The Bible says this. Jesus said to those Jews which believe on Him, "If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you" what? "The truth shall make you free." So, if the false Babylon, if Babylon is a symbol of confusion and the wine is a symbol of false teachings and doctrines, then we want to come and drink of the true wine which is found in Jesus, taking and partaking of the blood of Christ. So if we focus on Jesus, if we have put our attention on Him, what is God promising us here? We will know the truth and the truth will set us free. He will give us His Spirit, you see. If we're not filled with the wine of the excess of this world, we'll be filled with the Spirit of Christ to be able to see what truth is. Amen? And so when we see what that truth is, God will preserve us and show us what is right and wrong, and we'll be able to discern between false and truth. So here in this message about Babylon is fallen, once again, the cross of Calvary stands up. In a confused world out there, turn to Jesus. Amen? In a confused world out there, come to the foot of the cross. In a confused world out there, spend an hour a day spending time with your Savior Jesus and studying His Word so that you know what truth is. Amen? And so He says, the truth shall do what? Shall make you free. And finally, John 14, verse 6, the Bible says, "I am the way." Jesus said this, "I am the way and the" what? "And the truth." So when we come to Jesus, there's no other way by which we enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's no other way by which we enter, come to the throne of God. There's no other way by which we come to the presence of the Holy Father except through Christ. So if it's through Christ, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Then if Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, then we must come to Jesus. In this confused world, part of the second angel's message of that Babylon has fallen is come back to Jesus. Come back to the truth. Get out of confusion. Come to the foot of the cross and learn of Me. And what did Jesus say? "Many worship Me, but do not know Me." How is that? By following false teachings, by accepting false doctrines. Does that mean the rest of the world is going to be lost? I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus said Himself, He said, "Many are not of this fold." So there's a hope yet for those that one day soon, the message will be loud and clear, either what side you're going to be on. Those who accept Jesus Christ fully at the last day will be on Christ's side and will have accepted the three angels' messages. Those that are not on Christ's side will accept the message of the false beast or the false power or have accepted the teachings of Babylon. But Jesus says in all this, "Come unto Me," He says. "Cease from your labor, and I will give you rest." Friends, isn't it a peaceful thing to know that when you have Jesus and when you have the truth, you can sleep soundly at night, you can have rest at night, you can be assured at night, that you don't have to be at fear? No wonder the Bible tells us that you may know that you have eternal life. See, the promise here today for us still, friends, is that Jesus is the center. Though the world may be fallen in confusion, though the world may seem like Babylon, a place of confusion, false teachings, we can come to Jesus and we can find truth. Jesus says again, "I am the way and the truth." So the hope for us today, friends, is to come to Jesus, come to the foot of the cross, come to the Calvary, and receive that message of hope. Receive that message found in the second angel's message. Babylon is fallen. Come out of Babylon and come to Jesus Christ. You see, Babylon can be in our church today also. not just outside of these walls. We may proclaim the three angels' messages within our church, but in our heart we may be denying the message and the power of it. Can you and I be denying that power? Sure we can. Are you one of those people here today that still have your hand in the world of confusion through watching TV or junk stuff and filling your minds with garbage and living, saying that you're a Christian and you're not? And that's what the Babylon message is all about. It's about confusion. People proclaiming Christianity when they're really not. Is that what we are today? Only you can answer that question. Have you come to the foot of the cross? Have you come to the Calvary's tree? Have you looked and beheld the cross of Jesus? Have you come out of Babylon, the confusion of the heart of your mind? Have you not only separated yourselves from the false teachings of the world, but in mind and spirit, have you come and received the Spirit of Christ? You see, if we're going to be filled, as Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine. See, friends, you're either going to be drunk with the wine or you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, friends, then you're going to follow truth, you're going to accept truth, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to Jesus Christ. Amen? But if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then more than likely you're going to be intoxicated with the things of this world. Remember what happened at Pentecost? When they begin to preach in different languages, they begin to share the message of hope abroad, many thought, these men are drunk. And of course Peter stood up and says, we're not drunk, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We haven't even begun to drink yet. And what's happening here is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led them to preach the truth, fell upon the people so that they received the truth. And when they received the truth, they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But many else who rejected it were confused and thinking that they were full of drunkenness. You see, friends, it's one or the other. Either we're going to be intoxicated by the Holy Spirit or we're going to be intoxicated by the wine of Babylon. It's up to you. It's your choice. But if we drink of the wine of Jesus Christ that does not have a taint of toxicity in it, we will be sure that we can have soundness and clarity of mind. But if we keep partaking of the things of this world, keep meddling in the things of this world, we're going to end up being intoxicated with the wine of Babylon. And friends, if we do that, it says all nations will drink of the wine of her fornication. So don't confuse yourself. Don't deceive yourself in thinking that, as long as I'm in the church, I'm just fine. See, friends, if you're in the church and you're dabbling around out in the world, it's not going to be hard for you to dabble when time comes of persecution or trial, when this message of time comes. What side will you be on? Whose banner are you going to be under? What wine are you going to drink from, you see? Friends, I hope today that you'll come and drink of the wine of Jesus Christ. I hope today that you'll accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this message of love that He has extended to you, that even though Babylon was fallen, Jesus came to this world and died so that those that were in Babylon, you and I, were once in confusion. But Jesus came, shed His blood, so that we can have the hope of eternal life, so that we can have assurance today, without a doubt, with purpose in mind and hope in our heart, that with Jesus, things will be clear. And with things being clear, we can see clearly. And by seeing clearly, we can focus on Jesus. And by focusing on Jesus, He reveals to us what truth is, so that we can be ready when He comes again. Amen? Friends, will you be there on that day? Will you accept Jesus into your heart today? Will you accept Jesus, the Jesus that can set you free? Not only can Jesus set you free and give you truth, but He can set you free from the bondage of sin. Oh, friends, today, turn your heart to Christ. Give your heart over to Him. Surrender your will over to Him so that He can set you free. Jesus longs to set you free. Jesus longs to put His Spirit within you today. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank You for this message of hope. I thank You for this message of love. Though this world is filled with confusion, though it may seem like Babylon all around us, thank You, Jesus, that in all this confusion, You're like the rose in a pile of thistles. You are like the apple on a dunghill. Lord, You make our paths clear. You are a revelation to us. You are a hope to us. When we are in doubt, when confusion seems to come home, may our focus and attention be on You. Thank You for the message, Lord, that Babylon, though it may be fallen, in the midst of the fallen Babylon, in the midst of false teaching and all that, Jesus, you are the center of our hope. You are the beacon to show us the way home. Today I pray, Father, that we will not only physically step out of false teachings and doctrines, but spiritually. Oh Lord, how many have said, I have served you and worshipped you, but yet you have said, your hearts are far from me. Let this not be the case for us sitting here today, but let us today have the transformation. Let us be filled with your Holy Spirit, not drunk with excess of the wine of this world, but filled with your Holy Spirit. Please give us your Spirit today, I ask. Bless each today in this congregation. May we leave knowing we have been in your presence, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.